So to frame the substantive issue, the reason why we're talking about this is that the statute and the code has a number of different provisions that have filing deadlines. And outside of the tax law, there's been a recent evolution around what filing deadlines really mean. And I'll talk about in particular some of the cases, but the Supreme Court has started tightening up lower courts' interpretations of filing deadlines as being jurisdictional and a grounds for dismissal of the case. As we know, if a court does not have subject matter jurisdiction over a case, it gets dismissed, and the court has its own obligation to determine if it has subject matter jurisdiction. So the tax court has long had a practice of reviewing filed petitions to ensure that they were filed within 90 days of the date reflected on the notice of deficiency, and would on its own motion issue an order to show cause as to why it shouldn't be dismissed if it appeared on the face of the petition that it was not filed within 90 days of the issuance of the stat notice. So, again, courts have not only in the tax context but across the board all aspects of federal court jurisdiction and jurisprudence. There's an obligation for the courts to determine if they do have subject matter jurisdiction. So this decision and this question as to whether a filing deadline is jurisdictional or is just a claims processing timeline or deadline is quite important and quite important for the courts. I mentioned a moment ago, just to put some context around this, how expansive this is in the tax context, probably more than any other area of law. As we know, the IRS touches just about every, if not every single American, much more than most other federal agencies do. So filing deadlines in tax court and in tax cases have much broader consequences and application. I mentioned some of the trouble we can all get into if you, for example, pick the wrong private delivery service for your petition to tax court. But there are other reasons why there are some sort of screwy fact patterns that can get us into trouble here as well. One of them being, and I flagged it here, the last known address. So your notice of deficiency is only mailed to a last known address. Oftentimes we have clients who have moved, who haven't updated their address, and may miss a notice, even as something as important as a statutory notice of deficiency. They may come to your office on day 91, or even worse, on day 89. Because they're just getting notice or just learning that there was a notice of deficiency issued. So the IRS, you know, having such broad jurisdiction over so many Americans, does mail out, as I said, about a million pieces of jurisdictional notices each year. And that does call into question mailing, where these things are going, and issues can come up around whether somebody's actually gotten actual notice of something, even though the IRS has met the legal requirement of it. 90 days is the date that we all think of in the context of statutory notice of deficiency, but as we'll talk about Boeckler and some other cases come up in different contexts, collection due process, where you've only got 30 days to respond to the notice that was sent to a last known address. 30 days can go very quickly, particularly when something is being mailed by certified mail, and mail isn't being regularly picked up. Not all of us pay that close attention to our regular mailboxes anymore. So the 30-day deadlines that come into play in a number of these other cases, like collection due process, can also create all sorts of issues. And again, clients come into you after that 30-day deadline has passed. What can you do about it? Also, the consequences of these deadlines in tax court can be very significant, and in tax cases in general. Tax court is unique in that it's a prepayment form. If you don't get into tax court, you may be dismissed if you try to file late or if you don't file at all. In a regular deficiency case, you will still have the ability to pay the tax, file a claim for refund, and pursue refund litigation. But many of our clients don't have that option. They don't have the ability to pay, so they can't get into a refund form, or if they do, it's very difficult. So for many clients, it can be quite consequential if they miss that filing deadline, don't get into tax court, don't have the prepayment form. The same can be said for some of the tax court's other jurisdictional provisions, collection due process. If you're not in front of the tax court in a CDP case, you're going to find yourself, your client will find themselves subject to IRS enforced collection activity that could possibly be avoided if you've gotten a timely petition filed on a collection due process case in tax court. Recently, there's been an expansion of the tax court's jurisdiction in other areas. Passport revocation cases is a good example. Obviously, clients that are facing passport revocation have quite a bit at stake. They owe more than $50,000 in taxes. They probably want to travel. have family and business abroad, and so if they can't get into tax court because a petition hasn't been filed timely, again, a very consequential issue for a lot of clients. There are also issues, and I'll talk a little bit more about that just in terms of judicial resources and the amount that's at stake in these cases that sort of play into some of the dynamics that we'll talk about today. I mentioned this sort of shifting sands in the judicial landscape and how the Supreme Court has viewed jurisdictional versus claims processing. All of this is evolving in the courts, in the Supreme Court in particular, and even as of yesterday in the tax court, against a backdrop of statutes that were often written many years ago. So Congress put these different jurisdictional statutes into play before a lot of these cases have come out and probably wasn't as focused as it would be now in drafting legislation to ensure if it meant that something was supposed to be jurisdictional, that that's clear from the face of the statute. We'll talk about some of the challenges that that raises as well.